Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl.
Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. And for those that are new and you're just tuning in at this present time, I want you to know that you are listening to the Old Ship of Zion, where the Spirit of the Lord is going on. Hallelujah. I just want to send just a hearty thank you to all of my loyal and faithful listeners. I know you probably wonder where Overseer Ward has went. I want you to know that Overseer Ward is yet alive and well. Hallelujah. Still living holy. Still living for God. And so I just want you to know that we're coming on tonight. Hallelujah. God is going to accompany us in the live church service on this morning. And I'm asking those of you that will to invite, if you know anyone that you can call up, invite them to tune in. All you have to do is go there and log on to your tablet, your computer, your smartphone, your Android, and all of your digital devices. I want you to bring your dip and your chip and your dip and all you want to sip. Hallelujah. Bring all your digital devices, as I have forestated, because we are in need of them. And we know that our digital devices, I call them our toys, because it is a must. It is essential that we have these among of our digital gadgets on a day-to-day basis. Hallelujah. So I just want you I have the chat room available for your sitting and your listening pleasure. And this is not recorded, but this is coming to you live. Hallelujah. From the Old Ship of Zion / God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. So these are running spontaneously together. This combined the whole concept of God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. And so I just thank you for just being a continual listener of the Old Ship of Zion. Hallelujah. And may God richly bless you, you and you, as only he can. All right. I want to go now into, I do an opening prayer, and I also have a condolence prayer as well. And that is where I just take the liberty to send condolences out to those of you that might have lost a loved one within the last 72 hours, or maybe in the last 48 hours, last 24 hours, or 8 hours, or 4 hours, or 2 hours, or 30 seconds ago. And we do that to let you know that in your hour, when you're at your lowest moment, in your hour of great need and of great loss, that you are not alone. And I know sometimes on this journey, when we lose a loved one, we feel that we are all alone. But I want to encourage your heart and your soul on this morning that you are not alone, that you have warriors. You have pilgrims, travelers. You have steward and stewardess. You have prophetess. You have prophets. You have pastors. And the list just go on and on. You have prayer warriors that are praying for you and with you around the clock, that God will restore restoration unto your heart and soul. So I want you to know this morning that we are praying for you and we are praying with you. And may God bless you is our prayer. All right, we're going to now go on into our opening prayer, asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us together, God, once again, hallelujah, in unity around the spectrum, God. Father God, you said in your word, you said that you went away to prepare a place for us, and when you return, you would come back and receive us unto yourself. Well, until that day is upon us, God, we will continually moving upward and onward in your will and in your way. Travelers, we are pilgrim travelers, traveling through this barren land. And I'm asking you, God, as we're traveling through this barren land, and we're coming from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west. Hallelujah. As pilgrims, because we are pilgrims, we are a holy priesthood. So we are pilgrims, sojourners, mounted up from the four corners of this earth. And God, I'm asking you, hallelujah, God, to just touch and anoint these lips of clay on this morning, God. Hallelujah, God, I want you to assist me into bringing a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, God, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your glory, we won't take your praise, but we would be mindful to give you all the glory, all the honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we will let the congregation of God people say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to dive right on into our word. I'm not going to be before you long. I'll be with you scheduled 1 hour. And 1 hour it will be. Hallelujah. Unless the Lord say otherwise, I will be only, well, it's not really an hour now. We're down to 51 minutes. Hallelujah. So we're going to go on into the word, and you're tuned in to, once again, the old ship of Zion / God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. And so I theme on this morning entitled Gazing into Heaven. I want to say that one more time. I theme on this morning entitled Gazing into Heaven. And we're going to read our first key scripture, and it reads like this: Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And we're talking about the rapture of Jesus. We're talking about Jesus rapturing out the church, coming for the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is the church. Hallelujah. We know that we're living in a time to where, I mean, you just cannot put a handle on the weather. You can't even put a handle on your life, the next second, the next moment, the next hour, the next week, the next month, the next year. You cannot even begin to plan on next year because you don't know what even the next moment will bring. Because we know that we're leaving this earth by the dozen, the millions of thousand people that are leaving planet Earth around the world. And I'll tell you, if it ever was a time for us as people created in God's image to get our life, I'm talking about this life that we're living, to get it in order, because we do not know the time nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. Because the Bible tells us that he come unannounced. So he comes as a thief in the night. So it behooves you and I and us to have our soul right. Have our soul right when God cracked those clouds. So we're going to go on now into our second key scripture, and it reads this. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. And we know that when Jesus tells us something, you can stake your life on. Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. Just imagine a saint, wherever his concept of sainthood, we know that many in our secular society would view that ambitious as eccentric. Yet if we are Christians, it ought to be the highest priority of our lives. We know that the essential of sainthood is simply to be like Jesus. Paul said that the overarching purpose of God the Father is to make us like his Son. In the law of Romans 8:29, we know that, of course, every believer is guaranteed perfect conformity to Christ in the world to come, but God does not want you and I to wait passionately until we enter into heaven for that supernatural transformation to take place. In the law of 1 John 3:2, we are to be operating with the Holy Spirit to grow more and more like Christ in this world. Yes, we are already saints by faith in Christ Jesus. Coming out of the law of Philippians 1:1. But each day we face the challenge of becoming what we are, Christ-like, in every area of our lives. Hallelujah. So we know to belong to Christ is to be a saint. To live like a saint is to be like Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we know that time does not wait on anyone. We know that time is of an essence. We know that we can be perfectly fine right now, but we can fall fatally ill in the next second. There has been times where you have talked with friends and loved ones and constituents, and you said, well, when the last time you spoken to, you know, Aunt Susie? You said, well, I spoken to her yesterday. How was she? She was fine. Then all of a sudden you get a sudden call in the middle of the morning. Disturbance has taken place. Although you just talked to Aunt Susie. But overnight, Aunt Susie has been taken out. And so that's what I mean when I said that we should get our soul right with God while we are yet living, while blood is still yet running warm in our vertical veins, because we know that this moment, this second, and this hour is not promised to you and I. But we know that God is soon to come. He's showing all the signs, all the writing is on the wall. You might say, Overseer Ward, how can that be so? All you have to do is you can look at the wind. You can look at the weather. You don't know what season it is. You know what it says on your calendar. It's in the month of November. But it seems like we are in the month of July, literally. Because usually it be cold in November. Snow on the ground in some states. But yet, it seems like you don't even have to put on a coat or even a sweater. Just a top and a bottom will do. That is the reason why we cannot depict the month, because it's uncertainty. So it behooves you and I and us to get our soul right with God. And if our soul is not right, it's time to put away with foolishness. It's time to come in out of the rain, come in out of the storm. I'm talking about a spiritual storm. I'm not talking about a literary storm, but I'm talking about a spiritual storm. We need to come out of the rain, and we need to come into safety. We need to come into the safety measure, safety net of God. Hallelujah. Because in the end, we will have to stand before the judgment seat of God to give account to every deed that has been done in this old mortal body. May it be good or may it be not so good. Hallelujah. We're going to have to give account of everything that we have done down here on planet Earth. Hallelujah, Jesus. And as Jesus was preparing to leave his disciples, he promised to return. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In the law of John 14:3, we know that after enduring the horror of the cross, Jesus rose from the dead to provide eternal life to all who believe in him. And as our Savior, he indwells in us today by the Holy Spirit. But we know that one day he will soon return and gather us into his presence. You can find that in the law of 1 Thessalonians 4:15-18. Jesus is true to his word. Jesus is not a liar. He is not a son of man that he should lie. Hallelujah, and he's not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. So we know that God has never lied. God is not going to start lying, because God hates liars. God hates sin. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah, God. We know that God in all his wisdom doesn't tell you and I the day or the time of death. Nor do we know the day of Christ's return. But the Bible urges you and I to live for Christ and be prepared for either event. Peter wrote that the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in hallelujah. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayer. Have fervent love for one another. God said, be hospitable. Be hospitable. And he said one to another, without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. God said to minister to one another as good stewards and the manifold of grace of God. God also said, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you and I do not expect. The Bible tells us, blessed is that servant whom his master will find him so doing when he comes. And we know that as Christians, we need not panic as we see our time slipping away. Instead, let's live every moment for Christ and be prepared to meet him today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We find out that the godless ponder of death will fear for what's ahead they cannot see. But those who put their faith in Christ, they anticipate eternally. So we know that we do not know the hour or the time that the Son of Man cometh, but God tell us to be ready, because we do not know when Jesus will knock on our door. I'm talking about that door of our heart. You do not know when Jesus will knock at the door of your heart. You said, well, God, I need a little more time. Then God will say, I have given you plenty of time. I've given you 50 years. I've given you 60 years. I've given you 70 and 80 and 90 years to get your soul right with God, because it will be a shame to stand before the judgment seat of God and God tell you, said, depart from me, I never knew you, because your work was of iniquity. Those are words that no one in their rightful mind would want to hear on that day of judgment. Hallelujah. We know that the things that we once did, if it wasn't like God, it is time to take an assessment of our lives and to clean out those things which are not like Christ, because Christ would not live in an unclean temple, but God will reside in a holy temple. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. I don't know how it worked where you live, but when I have to call for a repair for one of my appliances, the company will tell us something like this. I will be there between 1 and 5 o'clock p.m. I don't know when the repair person will arrive. All I can do is wait. All you can do is wait. So Jesus tells his followers that he will soon be leaving and coming for them. Hallelujah, Jesus. He tells us just in a little while. We know that after Jesus' resurrection, they saw him again and they hoped that he would establish his kingdom on earth at that time. But he told them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put his authority. But he said that they would have to wait. And Jesus told his followers that they would have to be witnesses to him in Jerusalem and into Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He gave them the Holy Spirit to empower them to do this. We still wait for Jesus' return even now. But yet while we do this in our delight. We know that the Holy Spirit empowers you and I. And it shows us how to live a holy and sanctification lifestyle before God, before his return. God tells us to show others who he is and what he has done for you and I throughout our lives. Hallelujah. So we wait because we know that Jesus is a promise keeper. Jesus will return. For you and I and us, he's going to return. Because all the writing is on the wall. God tell us that it will be wars and rumors of wars, and we're having wars and rumors of wars. God said there will be tornadoes. We're having tornadoes. God said there will be earthquakes. We're having earthquakes. God said there will be tsunamis. We're having tsunamis. There will be fires erupting everywhere. We're having fires erupting everywhere. Everywhere you look, you turn, there's fires. There's unrest. There's people killing one another for no cause at all. But we know that the enemy is on the attack. The enemy is on the alert. I had someone to asked me on last evening about the shooting at the church. Said, well, then why God didn't stop the individual from shooting those people at church? The innocent babies, the innocent perishers. God was big enough to do that. Why God did not intervene? And this was my response. Well, you know, God tell us that my ways is not like your ways. Neither my thoughts your thoughts, says the Lord of hosts. So we cannot think that God is thinking along the same lines in which you and I are thinking, because he is not. See, God is a power source. God is a power. He's omnipotent. Power, that's what he is. That's who he is. He is God, but he is a spirit. So that's the reason why God tells us, those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So my response was to her was, sometime God has to go through and take extreme measures in which to get our attention. In order to get your mother, he might have to take your husband. In order to get your father, he might even have to take your son or your daughter. To get Cousin Lou, he might have to take Uncle Joe. See, God used whatever measurement he feels deems necessary to accomplish his purpose in yours and minds of our lives. God do not pick and choose, but God is trying to get yours and minds of our attention for one reason or another. And it behooves us to listen and hear what the Spirit, the Holy Ghost Spirit, has to say to the church. Sometime we have to take out our busy itinerary and get away, steal away, and pray to God. Get your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can go online and read some biblical scriptures throughout your day. Turn your radio dial into a scripture program that they are preaching the divine word of truth, and you can listen. Because in order for you and I to hear God's voice, we have to listen. We have to get quiet, turn down the world noise, and listen to God, what he has to say to the church. Hallelujah. Because God says, how can they hear without a preacher? So you have to be listening where God can talk to you and I and us. God will talk to you if you only listen. You can't be too busy where you cannot hear God. You cannot take time out of your busy itinerary. Because you will not have an excuse on that great judgment day When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God will not hear your, he will not hear your excuses. God, Sister Jones didn't come by and pick me up and carry me to church. God, I didn't have a car to go to church. I couldn't walk to church. God, those 2-3 blocks was too long for me, and I couldn't walk to church. God, did nobody tell me about you? Did nobody give me a Bible? Did nobody hand out a tract on my corner? In that great day of judgment, there will be no excuses accepted. That's the reason why God is trying to get yours and my attention. He's trying to get our family members' attention. You cannot go on continually living in sin. But God said, come from among ye and be separated, says the Lord. We have to come out the honky-tonks, the Jew joints. We have to come out the corners of prostitution. We got to come out from being a pimp. We got to come out from being a gunslinger. We got to come out from being a dope dealer. We got to come out from swinging on the posters. We got to come out of sin and get our hearts and our lives right with God. Because there's going to come a time when we're going to look for God, and God will be nowhere to be found. And that's scripture. That's biblical. I'm not making this up. So we got to call on God while he may be found. Call on him while he might be near. Because there's coming a time, my brother and my sister, where you're going to call on God and he is not going to be found. Time is of an essence. I plead the blood with you on tonight. / this morning, wherever you're living in your neck of the woods. It is night in my neck of the woods, or it's morning. Night, morning, it's dark, it's not day. But it might be day on your neck of the woods. So we know we got four corners to this earth. We got north, south, east, and west. So you might be living on the west coast, north coast, south, east. But I'm here to tell you tonight, it's time to get your life right with God. God gonna get our attention in whatever way he feels deems necessary. If it means taking a loved one out to reach you, that's what God will do. That's what God will do. Because I'm here to tell you, Satanic and Satan cannot do no more than God allow. Surely God could have stretched out his hands of mercy, his hands of sovereignty, to intervene if he chose to do so. But God did not choose to do so for whatever his reason was. See, God do not think like you and I, as I have already foreseen. God do not have the same thinking that you and I have. It's above and beyond our mind couldn't even comprehend, first of all, God's thinking. Because our brains would explore trying to think how God would be thinking. Because we're not even on that level to even think as God, let alone trying to, you know, have a mind of thinking how God would think. Because we cannot think like God. Because that's what he says. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. So that means that God is thinking above and beyond what our mind could ever comprehend in this life. So I told her, I said, God could have intervened if he chose to do so, but God had to take out somebody in order to reach somebody. Like, you know, every time that a child is born, somebody is going out. So if God is trying to reach you, God do not want anybody lost. God cares about you and I. And God proved that he cares about us. Over 2,000 light years ago, when God went to Calvary Mountain, they hung him high and they stretched him wide. They put nails in his hands, his left hand and his right hand. They placed one foot upon the other and they drove spikes from the top layer to the very last core of God's skin. If that wasn't enough, they placed a crown of thorns upon his head. It was a crown, but it was a crown of thorns that stuck in his flesh, in his very scalp, in his, you know, like in your hairline, around your scalp. Those things stick. It's like you get a sticker in your foot. If you're, you know, somewhere you might live, you have grass, and in the summertime you take your shoe off, and if you forget and you don't have your shoes on and you're just walking on the bare grass, you can step on a sticker. They call it a sticker bug. And that thing hurt because it's sharp and it sticks in your foot, and you have to stop and sit down and pull it out. I have someone else to pull it out for you. But those thongs was sharper than that. It was sharper than that. That went down through God very flush of his scalp. It went through the flush of God's scalp. Till blood was running down his face. And then if that wasn't enough, they took a spear and then they pierced it in his side. And then it come out on the other side. The Bible said, come gushing out was blood and water. So God has already proved his love for you and I and us. There's no more proving to do. God is not going to go back and do a second death. He will not return back to the cross again. He's already went to the cross. He's already went to the grave. It's no more grave God is going to prove his point that he loved you and I. So it's up to us to think of our soul importantly, to turn over from our wicked ways and to give our life to Christ while the blood is still warm in your vein. That means before you die and it's cold. That's what I'm saying. So it is of the utmost importance that you get your life in order, because God is soon to come. Whether you believe it or not don't make any difference. It still is coming. It does not make it so just because you say, well, overseer, I don't believe that. Well, then that's your unbelief. But that do not take away from the word of God. He said, I'm coming as a thief in the night. So that means that you have to stay ready, stay armed with the Holy Spirit, with God in your life. Because God says that you have to come at the door. God is going to knock at the door of your heart. And so God says that you have to come at the front door. You can't be trying to come in through the window or come in some other way. Because God said that if you come in any other way, that you come in as a thief and a robber. So you don't want God to label you as a robber, do you, and a thief? He says, if you come any other way, you come in as a thief and a robber. So that let us know that we have to come in correct. And ask God, tell God, say, God, I am a sinner. You have to acknowledge to God these things. You have to, he know you're a sinner, but that you have to acknowledge that. Every individual that changed over from the world, you know, from a sinner to a saint. So if you're in the world, we're still in the world, we're living in the world, but I'm talking about living a sinful life, living a sinful life in the world, meaning that you're doing everything that you want to do in your life. That's living in the world of sin, because you're doing any and everything that you want to do. That's not like God. Then you have to acknowledge to God, God, I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner. I want to change. I want to change my life. I have sinned before you, and I am sorry. But I'm ready to give my life to you, Father God. I want you to come into my life. I want you to reign inside of my heart. I want you to take up residence inside of my heart and dwell there every day that I do right. And if you stumble and if you error, tell God, God, I'm sorry. And it's a done deal. You haven't lost your Holy Ghost. You still got your Holy Ghost. No, you know, you're not doing, committing adultery and all that stuff. But, you know, just if you're thinking outside of the box, thinking, you know, harmful or thinking something negative toward a person, well, Lord, I'm sorry that I thought negative toward that person, you know. I'm sorry that I thought that this person was undeserving of a blessing. Maybe I was undeserving and that person wasn't. You go to thinking, well, God, you know, you blessed her. You didn't bless me, you know. But see, everyone have their season to be blessed. So you have to fall into a season. So we all fall into our season to be blessed. That's the way the Bible have it. That it's your season. When you get blessed, then you're in your season. When you're not getting blessed, it's not your season. It's somebody else's season. So each and every one of us have our season to be blessed. So you don't have to get jealous because Sister Susie has got a new car and you don't have a new car. Because that same God that gave Sister Susie a car can give you a car. Gave Brother White a new house can give you a new house. That gave Sister Brown a new wardrobe. God can give you a new wardrobe. He's that same God. And he has not changed. He is that same God. God has not changed. Hallelujah. All you got to do is trust him. Trust him. Hallelujah. He is the same, the Bible says. He is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. God is the same. And God is looking for a few good men and women to live for him, to be messengers, to go out into a vineyard, tell others what God has done in your life. Tell others how God has been a change in your life. The things that you used to do, you don't have a desire to do those things anymore. The places that you used to go, you don't have a desire to go to those places anymore. Because God has changed you. You're the same person. But you just changed on the inside. So what's changed on the inside will show up on the outside. Because the word of God tells us that you will be known by the fruit you bear. So we know that when it's a change in our lives, our relatives can see the change. Your friends and your colleagues, your business partners can see the change that God has made in your life. And it's an everyday thing. This is an everyday battle because we are, you know, we are up against the principalities of this dark age, and that is satanic force. That is Lucifer. That is Satan. That is the father of the air. So we know that we have a lot of things that attack us every day. But if you keep your mind stayed on God, you keep your mind in the Word, reading the Word and praying and fasting and seeking God's face for your life, praying daily, God will keep you. He said, I will keep those who keep their mind stayed on me in perfect peace. See, just like you go to work every day, living for God is a day-to-day challenge. But God tell us that his yoke is easy and his burdens is light. So it's nothing about living holy. It's complicated. The enemy wants you to think that it's complicated because you have to give up the world. From number one, you know, if we was lying, if we was, you know, swearing and cheating and whatever we were doing that was not like God was a sin. But when you come into the reality of God, then you don't have a desire to do those things anymore. You don't even have a desire to go to the same places that you used to go. You are now new, improved, and God will give you new places in which to travel. Because when God changes you, you won't have a desire to even smoke cigarettes. If you used to smoke, you won't have a desire to smoke cigarettes. God will take away the taste from your mouth. If you drink, God will take away the alcoholic desire to drink away from you. And everything that was not like God, God will take it away and replace his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, and his peace inside of your soul. And it's not hard. I tell you, a sanctification lifestyle is a beautiful life style that anyone could ever have. It's a beautiful lifestyle. Not saying that you won't go through trials and tribulations, because we're going to have trials and tribulations as long as we're on planet Earth. We'll have trials and tribulations. They're not going anywhere. But God will deliver us through them all. That's what he said in his word. He said, I will deliver you from them all. So we know that God will bring us out. And he'll bring us out with a victory. God will bring you out with a victory. All you have to do is just have a mind to live holy. And God will keep you in perfect peace. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to live this thing out. Because the devil is going to be attacking you on every side. That's his motive of operation. The Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life. And that you might have life more abundantly. So, you know, I'm just giving you a warning on today. Give God your life. I'm going to now open up, hallelujah, prayer line. If anyone have any prayers, petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree and bring your prayer petition into fruition, Now is the time to call in to your studio dial-up line, and you can speak with your host and moderator, Overseer Janice Wolf. And I will pray in faith with you your prayer petition, and God will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Let all that will on tonight, I beg you tonight to give your life to God. Right where you're sitting, you're stooping, you're squatting, you're kneeling, you're lying down, whatever posture that you're in right now, ask God to come into your life. Be your Lord and your Savior. Tell him that you admit that you are a sinner, that you sin before God, and you're sorrowful for the things that you've rendered. And God will put all your sins in the sea, and he will not remember them anymore. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer line is now open. Call in if you have a prayer petition on your heart, and Overseer Ward will pray with you in faith. God will bring it by the path. Hallelujah, Jesus. If there will be no prayer request at this time, we're going to turn you over into the second phase of this program, and that is the Hymns of Zion. When this clock run out, that will be the conclusion of this program on tonight. I promise you I would be with you 50 some odd minutes, and I'm keeping my promise. But until we meet again across these airways and skyways, I want you to buckle up with Jesus at your will, because he is people friendly. Hallelujah. I want you to know that Jesus loves you on today. Overseer Ward loves you as well. And I want you just to be blessed. And I want you to think about what we have talked about tonight, and it was gazing into heaven. Jesus said, there's no need for you to gaze into heaven, because the same Jesus whom you've seen going up is going to come back. And he says he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. You can send your correspondence, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California. Send your remittance to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. P.O. Box, once again, is P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. We're going to let the music play out. Till we meet again, you be blessed. Go with God and allow God to go in you. Thank you.
Take care of you. Over in the